You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
The pride, passion, and pageantry of college football lives here. This is the Paul Feinbaum Show, Hour 4 podcast.
This might be college football heaven.
Welcome back. We are live from Nashville, Broadway to be exact. And we've been here all afternoon. We had the commissioner of the SEC. We have had so many other people from the chancellor. You name it, we've had it. We still have Tim Tebow, Jordan Rogers, Roman. But for the first time all day, and pretty amazing that we've been here 3 hours, but it's been that busy. Let's grab a couple of calls. Stuart starts us off from North Carolina. Hello, Stuart.
Paul. What's up, baby? It's my anniversary again. Me and Crimson.
Oh, my goodness. Tell us about it.
Well, it's our 18th anniversary. You just went out to eat a while ago. And let me just say this. I've only called your show on my wedding anniversary 3 times, and this is the 3rd year in a row. And guess what? The Dogs won national titles, the other two.
Well, that could be a harbinger of things to come. Hey, thanks so much. We appreciate it. Kudzu is up next in Atlanta. Hello,
hey.
Kudzu.
Hey, Paul. Hope you're having a good Friday.
Thank you.
I had a couple things I wanted to run by you. Who's the NC State AD? Do you remember that guy's name?
The NC State AD?
Yes.
Is that Boo Corrigan?
You got it, Paul. Isn't that the same idiot that made all those comments during the CFP selection? And he's the guy that put the thumbs-up vote against Clemson, Florida State, North Carolina?
These guys went after Greg Sankey talking about how the SEC was just a money-grubbing league. Look at them.
Sure. But you know, it's funny, Paul, as you look at it and you drill down in it, I mean, this thing has more financial levels than an Amway meeting. I mean, it's ridiculous. 9 years that SMU won't receive any money, Stanford 30% revenue for until year 7, then 8, 9, and 10 are 100%. That leaves 3 years left on the TV contract. What's going to happen to all that $50 million that they think they're going to just spread out amongst the wealth of all the three members that they just brought in? That's going to cut back into it. I mean, they just put the nail in their coffin. Florida State and Clemson are out, bro. It is done, and it's just a matter of time. They killed themselves.
Well, the thing that makes no sense is that the ACC was already fading from relevancy. And with the three today, they're even farther away from being relevant.
There's a reason that those two from the Pac-10 or Pac-12 were still there. They have no football television value whatsoever. They bring nothing to the table. This isn't an academic decision. It's, according to them, it's supposed to be a financial decision. Why would you bring those two guys in?
No,
I mean, it makes no sense.
I have to. I think what they're telegraphing is this, I can't explain it, but I think they know they're losing a couple of schools,
yes.
And they're just saying, you know what? We don't want to look stupid when Florida State, North Carolina, and Clemson bail out, so we're going to be. I mean, it's somebody described it today as you said Amway. Somebody described it as a Ponzi scheme. A Ponzi scheme usually has at least a modicum of intelligence to it.
Yeah. I mean, nobody can give you the details. And who gets to decide what the monetary value is and how they're going to spread it out? It's ridiculous. Anyway, Paul, I just wanted to share those comments with you, and I'm glad you agree. It's a pathetic relationship that the ACC has brought this to.
I agree. We haven't had that much of an opportunity to talk about it because, frankly, there's nothing remotely objective that could even be said other than what you just said. Robert is up next in Ohio. Hello, Robert.
Hi, sir. Go Dogs from Columbus, Ohio. First, I just wanted to appreciate you living here in Ohio. You have no idea how much I love your show, and you're a beacon of hope for us living over here. Secondly, Ohio State, please stop complaining about that game and that hit. It's over. Let's move on. Thirdly, I think Georgia's most exciting games this year will be Tennessee and Ole Miss. I know Ole Miss is at home. Lastly, sir, I would like to give a shout-out to my coworkers at Mount Carmel St. Anne's here in Ohio, the hospital I work at, in the endoscopy unit. They are awesome nurses, awesome techs, and awesome anesthesiologists, doctors, and all. Love them, and love your show, sir. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Robert. We deeply appreciate that. Connor is up next in Knoxville. Hello, Connor.
Hey, Paul. How's it going?
We are doing great. Thank you for calling.
Yes, sir. I just wanted to know your thoughts on tomorrow's game with Tennessee and Virginia.
I think it'll be a blowout. I think Tennessee will name a score, whatever they want it to be, and I don't know what that is, but it will. I think it will be an offensive explosion, and I'm really excited to see Joe Milton get his moment. Hey, thank you for the call. Appreciate it. Larry is up next. Larry, go right ahead.
Hey, man, what are you doing with Cop Podcast Brad on there? What in the heck did you get him from and drag him up on the show?
You
should have had me up there.
Well, Larry, he was here and you weren't.
No, well, you could have invited me. You probably begged him and tell him what you had
well,
to
Larry,
pay him.
And he get up there. It's not. We may be close to you next week if you want to drop by.
I will. I get up there with you, bro. You know, we can handle it, man. We'd have done a lot better job. And nobody brings nothing podcast.
If you want, Larry, you could be the co-host next Friday.
Hey, I can do it, Jack. I can do it. 7-8 Bud Light, boom, we on. You know what? I'm going to take an IQ test with you. I'm going to let some other people get in. I'm just going to say, bro, damn tired, Jack.
Hey, Larry, I heard from the Mensa people today.
Yeah, they know me.
They think you may be a serious candidate to be a Mensa member.
Yeah, boy, I know it. All they had to do was listen to my calls, Jack. That's all they had to do. Just move me right in there, bro, with the smart people.
Larry, thank you. Right. It's so great to hear from you on a Friday afternoon. We're going to get some predictions for the weekend. You know what the staple of this show since its inception? Doring on Friday afternoon. We'll also maybe get his thoughts on what happened last night in Salt Lake City.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Is your schedule too packed to see a doctor about your erectile dysfunction? Well, with Hims, now you can get treated for ED without stepping foot outside your door. They're changing men's healthcare by providing access to affordable sexual health treatments from the comfort of your couch. Hims provides access to doctor-trusted ED treatment options such as chewable hard mints, brand-name treatments like Viagra, or generic alternatives for up to 95% cheaper. The process is simple and entirely online. Just answer a series of questions and a medical provider will determine the right treatment option. If prescribed, your medication ships to you free, no insurance needed. So what are you waiting for? Join the hundreds of thousands of trusted Hims subscribers and get treated. Start your free online visit today at hims.com/Paul. That's hims.com/Paul for your personalized ED treatment options. hims.com/Paul. Hard mints are chewable compounded products which are not approved by or verified for safety or effectiveness by the FDA. Prescriptions require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if appropriate. Restrictions apply. See website for details and important safety information. Subscription required. Price varies on product and subscription plan.
This podcast is proud to be supported by Jet's Pizza, the number one pick in Detroit-style pizza. Why? It's simple. Jet's is better. With the thickest, crispiest, cheesiest Detroit-style pizza in the country, there's no competition. Right now, get $5 off any 8-corner pizza with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Go to jetspizza.com to learn more and find a location near you. Again, try Jet's signature 8-corner pizza and get $5 off with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Jet's Pizza. better because it has to be.
We're back. We've been doing this a long time, and we've always chatted with Chris Doering on Friday afternoon from studio, and we do that now. Chris, thanks for the time. I know Gator Nation is struggling today. You understand that better than we do, being a big part of it and living there. But give Gator fans reason to think that this season is not going to resemble last season.
To come here from Gainesville thinking I have an opportunity to celebrate on this Friday afternoon, but a little more mourning taking place amongst Gator Nation, and certainly a lot of panic, as you kind of referenced. I think there's a lot of reason to worry, first and foremost. I mean, the disorganization of the team as a whole, the false start penalties are one thing. When you're in a hostile environment like that, third and short, fourth and short, those things happen. But not being able to line up properly, getting multiple procedure penalties that call back third down conversions that you were able to make. The illegal substitution with two number threes after you get a stop at midfield and force a punt. Those things are the things that worry me the most. The execution down in the red zone, the delay of game and not being able to get a call in time. Those things are kind of concerning. But I go back to last year. After watching the LSU-FSU game on Sunday night, I thought LSU would be lucky to get bowl eligible. They looked sloppy. They couldn't get plays in. They muffed punts on the special teams. They made mistakes that made them look completely inept. They were able to get things right and ultimately end up getting into the SEC championship game. Now, I'm not saying Billy Napier is by any means Brian Kelly and they're going to have that same sort of development, but I saw things, Paul, that I liked. I saw playmakers on offense that I hadn't seen there last year. I saw Graham Mertz. People say Graham Mertz didn't play great. I saw him get them into the right play at the line of scrimmage. I saw him distribute the football, made some really good throws. Now, is there room for improvement? I certainly think there is, but after sleeping on it, I'm feeling a little more encouraged than I was when I went to bed last night.
But Chris, and you know where I'm going here. That was Brian Kelly's first game. It was chaos. This is not Billy Napier's first game. It is his 14th.
Yeah, I agree with you there. I think there was also, 40-something new faces on the roster that were making their debut for Florida. So while it wasn't his first game as the Gators head coach, it was their first game as players under him as the head coach at the University of Florida. I don't mean to make excuses at all, but I do think the talent is better than what we saw there last year. I think the recruiting class in 2024 is even better. You have them currently ranked at, number three overall in the signing class for next year. So I think there is room for improvement, but the in-game coaching situation is something that has to get figured out. They looked completely uncoached. And quite frankly, I think the question that we talked about a lot at Media Days, Paul, was can a head coach in major college football in the SEC also be a play caller? I don't know if it can anymore. And I came from a school where my coach was an amazing head coach and an amazing play caller. But I don't know if that's the case now with NIL, the transfer portal, the nature of the big business of college football. I think Billy Napier at some point in time in the offseason will have to evaluate that. Eli Drinkwitz just made the change. Jimbo Fisher has made the change. I'm interested to see whether it's something that Coach Napier can continue to do.
Chris, the last I saw, and maybe things changed, was because of the hurricane, Florida was going to fly to Dallas, practice there, and then go to Salt Lake City. Assuming that is what happened, I'm curious for the explanation of why they just didn't go straight to Salt Lake City.
Yeah, I was interested in that too. I went to practice on Sunday. Florida looked really sharp in the practice, efficient in what they were getting in and out of. But I asked them, I said, what's the plan? Because when I played in the NFL, anytime we went west, we went out Friday for a Sunday game to try to get there, settle in, get over the jet lag. But I guess they did a lot of research and speaking to NFL teams now and talking to folks about how you acclimate to playing at elevation. They said, unless you're going to go 5 to 7 days in advance, you want to go within a 24-hour window. So they did have to get out of Gainesville earlier than they had planned. They had planned to leave Wednesday. Because of the incoming storm, they left on Tuesday, went halfway to Dallas, practiced there, felt like they had more time together in the hotel to bond that they wouldn't have had in Gainesville, and then did get to Salt Lake City within that 24-hour period before playing. I don't know the science behind it, but I guess that's what they're telling you is best, and that's what they ended up executing. Now, I don't know if that made a difference or not. They certainly didn't necessarily look fatigued to me. They looked like they were more in disarray than anything else, but At the end of the day, you score 11 points in your opener, and there's a lot of room to be had right now in practice this week.
Yeah, and I realize a lot of people, may not have seen all the game. I mean, Florida scored late and made that score respectable, but until that last touchdown, I mean, it was a stomping, was it not?
Yeah, it was. I mean, the 24-11 score is not necessarily reflective of the way the game went. Now, with that being said, again, Florida gets down there in the red zone multiple times, misses a field goal. They throw an interception coming out in the third quarter that sets up Utah for, I think, their only score of the second half. So there were some things that I think made the score look different. They hit a 70-yarder on the first play of the game offensively for Utah. There are a lot of things that need to be improved, but I believe in the coaching staff. I believe in Austin Armstrong defensively. The thing that I was probably the most disappointed about was all the talk about the defensive line improvement, the guys that have come in through the transfer portal. Rarely did they ever. I think, two quarterback hurries last night in that ball game. Very little penetration in terms of disrupting the run game, or for that matter, disrupting the quarterback trying to throw. So that's something that they got to figure out. They'll get a chance to do that against McNeese this week, but let's not forget, Tennessee looms in week three, and that's a game they got to get better in a hurry for.
And finally on that, Chris, you better than anyone understands that game and how dominant Florida has been. That game in the Swamp, and I think already some of the pundits have said it's a must-win game. That seems, I don't know what that means, by the way. But it must win, I guess, in terms of trying to stop the bleeding.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's a game you've had a lot of success in the series over the last two decades in Gainesville. I think Florida catches Tennessee at a great time. Joe Milton has started some games and had success in this offense, but he hasn't really played in any real intimidating venues within this conference. That'll be the first time starting in that kind of environment. So I'm glad from a Florida perspective they catch him there instead of catching Tennessee when they get all the chemistry together in October and November. But with that being said, they were the number one scoring offense in the country last year. You lose one of the best players in the history of your program in Hendon Hooker, and you think you're going to plug in Joe Milton and not skip a beat. I think that's a little naive. I believe in Joe Milton. I think he's going to have a great year. I think they have a tremendous group of wide receivers around him. But I do think there may be an acclimation point for him, especially heading into that first SEC game. So I do like the fact that Florida catches them when they do on the schedule.
Okay, let's get to our favorite part of this segment, some picks. I don't know if you're going to have to test your high IQ on some of these, but we'll give it a shot.
Yeah.
Let's start with Alabama. Middle Tennessee comes in. Everyone watching the quarterback situation.
Yeah, I think we've all kind of waited for this day, the way that Coach Saban has talked about the baking a cake analogy. I'm wondering if, in fact, the cake is ready or they're having to pull it out just because that's the timing of things. I do like the fact they've gone with Jalen Milroe. I think it makes a lot of sense. I heard Cole's interview talking about Alabama's offensive line earlier. I respect his opinion on offensive line more than anybody. But they have not been good the last couple years. And if you're really trying to focus on what you can do to help out the offensive line, put a quarterback in there that can run around and when things break down, make plays with his legs. Much like LSU made that decision last year to go with Jaden Daniels. I also believe if you're trying to run the ball more, as it appears that Tommy Reese would like to, then help the running backs out by putting a quarterback in there that can help run the football. So I like the start of Jalen Milroe. I do think it'll be interesting. Everybody around the program has talked, just because one guy starts doesn't mean he's going to start in week two or beyond. So I think this quarterback battle is a little bit of an ongoing situation. But I do like Jalen Milroe in there, and I think this offense with him at the helm has a chance to be pretty good.
Okay, let's get a couple of quick thoughts on some of these games. Texas A&M, not a lot there, but what do you expect?
I'm excited about Texas A&M. They were overhyped the last 2 years, I think underhyped this year. And when talked to Anaya Smith in Nashville for Media Days, he kind of reflected the sense of urgency that this team has. I actually have A&M maybe being one of the dark horse teams in the conference this year.
And two big games, UNC and South Carolina. What happens?
I feel really uncomfortable. I love Shane Beamer in South Carolina going up against my guy Chiz's defense. The big question is, can they find that lightning in the bottle that they struck last year in that eight-game span when they beat Tennessee and Clemson in back-to-back games? Dow Loggins, we have no idea what this offense is going to look like. But I like the fact that Spencer Rattler's feeling confident, talking about the most fun they've had and most prepared they've been going through a camp that he's been a part of. So I think South Carolina gets the win, but I do believe that Drake May will make it a high-scoring game, and I hope that Chiz's defense doesn't give up 50 in this one.
Really short on time here. Just need how big a margin Tennessee and Virginia?
I think Tennessee wins by four touchdowns. The spread's four touchdowns. I think they cover it.
LSU and Florida State in the biggest game of the weekend.
Yeah, I like LSU in this one. Very even in the tail of the tape, but I believe in Brian Kelly. I believe in Jaden Daniels, and I think they end up winning the West this year. I think they win this game to get some revenge from last season.
Chris Doering, thank you very much. We'll talk to you next Friday as we get ready for the Alabama-Texas game and many others. We'll take a short break. We're on Broadway, and we're coming right back.
All right. Thanks, guys.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HOURENERGY.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HOURENERGY.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Don't forget, it starts tomorrow morning, 9 Eastern, 8 Central. Marty and McGee. And then live from Broadway, the crew, Jordan, Tim, Roman, and Laura. Some of that crew is here right now as we say hello to Roman Harper and Tim Tebow. We haven't had a lot of opportunity to get reaction about what happened last night, Tim. Just your thoughts on the Gators.
Well, I know it's not the way they wanted to start the season, that's for sure. I think with execution, you saw some bright spots. I think probably the brightest spot was that they didn't quit. And that's something that you can build around, is a team that's willing to go into hard places and continue to fight. But I think the execution has to get better. I think the fundamentals, the little things, the jumping, you know, you get short yardage. I think there was four times they got in the red area and they came away with maybe one touchdown and a field goal. And you can't do that and win, especially on the road against good teams. You know, when you have opportunities, third and fourth and one, you can't shoot yourself in the foot. Utah, give them credit. They did some good things. But there was a lot of things that Florida did to hurt themselves in that game. And that's something that is also very hard to live with.
You know, Paul, every game comes down to about five plays. And that can either blow a team out or keep the game close. And Florida missed their opportunity, especially early, like Tim's saying, jumping off sides. Then all of a sudden you get a stop and you have these two guys on the field with the same jersey. It's like those things come back to haunt you. And next thing you know, when you had a chance, when you were in striking distance, now you're no longer in striking distance because of your own self-inflicted penalties and decisions. So I thought that was the biggest takeaway for me from Florida. I understand a lot of people are going to be upset and angry this morning, and rightfully so. That was not a good loss for Florida.
And Roman, they lost to a team very good, tough place to play, but without some of their best players.
Yeah, they were on their second and third quarterback, you know, so that was a bad thing for them to have. And also, Florida, you can't convert one third down all game long and win that game either. It's just like some of the stats that are most important, they whiffed on every single one of them.
I think if you go back to kind of the biggest basics of football that we talk about, right, it's turnovers, it's scoring in the red zone, it's special teams. You lost all three of those.
Third down, staying on the field.
Third down is also massive, right? All of those, that's just so important. So it's playing efficient football. You know, that's going to help Florida play a lot more effective football, is when they can be efficient in those key downs that really matter. But I do think there are some upsides. They played hard. They continue to fight.
Yep.
And I thought there were some things that you can definitely coach around with Graham, the way he was able to throw the ball.
I agree.
At times, he's got to get a lot more protection, though. That is something
And how do you played on the other side? How do you correct that part of the game? Because the protection is critical, and he didn't have it.
Well, not only that, but until
and no running game either.
No running game, but until you get it fixed, this is what you're going to see every week as well. More and more teams are going to say, you know what, we're going to go pressure these guys because they can't handle it.
Right.
And so until you fix it, you're only going to get more and more of it every week. So next week, you're going to see it again. And the week after that, you're going to see more and more of it. So Florida has to get these things tightened up, or it's not going to go well
for them. Yeah, and another option that they would have is spread it out a little bit more and let him get it out of his hand quick. Get it to Ricky Pearsall. Get it to some of the young receivers that showed some talent throughout the game. Get it to those guys early. Get it going a little bit. Sometimes the play action, you're asking guys to hold up a little bit longer, right? Especially when the run game's not going, and they say, all right, I'm not truly focused on stopping the run. I'm pinning my ears back and getting to the quarterback, and I think you could spread it out a little bit and get it out of his hands
quick. It was interesting because early in the game they ran a lot of boots, a lot of play actions. Like, it was getting well for Utah. Then Utah settled in, changed their defensive scheme, went more man, less zone, and then throwing windows away early, and then that's when you saw Florida really never to be able to get back on pace at all.
Tim, maybe because I just feel like I just relived your career on Swamp Kings, I ask you this question.
Where are you going with this?
Florida fans are beside themselves. They always are. I mean, the expectations are here. What do you say to Florida fans tonight in relation to what is going on and what to how to react, how to approach what is a cauldron of controversy?
Well, you're asking me a question that there's no necessarily right answer to, right? I mean, I think the great thing about Florida fans and Gator Nation, and it's truly all over the world, is that they're passionate. They love their teams, and I'm so grateful for that. I think what's really important, though, is how can your support of Gator Nation be helpful? And I think it's to continue to encourage these players, but also cheer for them and want. It's okay for you to want more. It's okay for you to want them to be efficient and not make some of the silly mistakes. I think sometimes for us as fans and diehard Gators, that hurts more than if you get beat. Sometimes talent gets beat, right? You don't win them all. But I think sometimes the little things, you're like, oh, sometimes I think that can be a little bit hard for Gator
Nation. I think that's the most deflating about the fans this morning is that the way they lost the game. It's like, man, we lost the game and we had a lot to do with it. So it'd be different if you go out there and you lose and they're just better than you.
Yeah.
That's fine. But when you have a lot to do with those mistakes, I think that's the most deflating. And this is not Coach Napier's first year. So, and now with the transfer portal, the success of all these other teams in the SEC, Josh Heupel being good in year two, Brian Kelly winning the SEC West in year one, and what Nick Saban has really changed everything out. Like, you don't have time anymore. Nobody's going to wait 4 years. So they want to win right now.
The one thing, though, that Florida fans can be encouraged with, though, is Florida's doing really well in recruiting right now.
Yes,
they're continuing to, this last year and right now, continuing to get a lot of really good players. But then bringing them in and bringing them as part of that execution is really important.
Mm-hmm. You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/network.
Talking to Roman and Tim, so many fascinating games. I want to go to the biggest game of the weekend, and that's LSU and Florida State. Just, what are you watching for?
Number one, the biggest outlier, the biggest thing is that Harold Perkins didn't play in this game last year.
Yeah.
So I want to see how he impacts the game. Also playing off the ball linebacker for the first time. I want to see how that goes with him. But going into it, though, Paul, if you go back and watch this game, you say, okay, if I'm Florida State, you should have been a blowout. The game shouldn't even have come down to what it did. You fumbled. You got stopped in the red zone on fourth down one time early in the game. You fumbled on the two-yard line going in to really seal the game for you in the fourth quarter late that allowed LSU to come back. And so the game shouldn't even have been that close. If you're LSU, you're like, look, we muffed two punts, gave them the points that they had, and we also missed the extra point to tie the game, and we still found a way to be right there. If Jaden Daniels can find a way to be as effective throwing the ball like he was at the latter part of last year, you better watch out for him. I think they'd be highly explosive. But all I've heard all year is offseason is that how talented and how good this Florida State team is. It's important that they go out there and prove that not only for themselves, but for the ACC as well.
Even if you're not a LSU or FSU fan, this is a game you should watch.
No doubt.
You're going to watch two of the most exciting quarterbacks in college football. Jordan Travis, who I believe, if he plays well, he's going to have a legit shot. He needs to play really well in two games. This game and against Clemson, and maybe another rematch against Clemson at the end of the year. If he does that, I think he'll have a chance to maybe be in New York in December. I think Jaden Daniels is also going to have that opportunity. And then a matchup that everybody should watch one-on-one is Jordan Travis and then Harold Perkins when Harold Perkins is a spy. I think that's going to be good on good. Those are two guys that are going to play at the next level, extremely athletic. But then throughout this game, you're going to have so many first-round draft picks. You're going to have Jared Verse at defensive end. You're going to have receivers on both sides that are going to have a chance to be first, second-round draft picks. And there's a lot of talent on the field, and this is an exciting game for college football because it doesn't matter who you're rooting for, you should show up and you should watch because these boys are about to play excellent football.
It's going to be lights out for sure. It's a lot of speed. I think it's going to be a lot of jawing too early. It's going to be a lot of jawing.
With Florida State? What are you talking about?
Exactly. It's a lot of passion going on. These two teams, because this game is going to mean everything. I think, especially with Florida State, because if Florida State loses this game, Paul, I don't think they have a chance to get to the playoffs. Versus LSU, LSU can lose this game and still have a chance to get into the playoffs. So those are little things that I'm thinking, you know, it's really going to play into this. And because of that, the emotions are going to be running high. And LSU and people of Baton Rouge, we all know how much they like to talk trash and be who they are. So this is why this game will be lights out from the beginning. I don't want to miss one play because I'm expecting fireworks.
Can't wait. Guys, thank you.
Appreciate you. Good to see you, brother.
Thank you very much.
That was very nice how you treated Tim on the Florida situation. I'm proud of you.
I thought you showed exquisite class.
I'm very proud of you as well,
because
Paul.
We're gonna ease Tim into the slaughter situation.
Ease him into the slaughter.
We will be right back after this.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.